We have five cases on the calendar this morning. One from the MSPB, two from the PTAB, one from the CIT, and one from an arbitrator. The latter being submitted on the briefs and not being orally argued. Our first case is David Rickel versus the Department of the Navy, 2020-2147. Mr. Pinot, is it? Pinot, sorry?
Pinot.
Pinot, yes. Please proceed.
May it please the court, members of the court, good morning. My name is Don Pinnell. I represent David Rickel in this case. I recognize pragmatically that we're asking the court to make an adjustment to how CAR Factor 3 is going to be implicated or considered in certain very limited circumstances. The agency would have you believe that we're proposing this gross change that affects everything to an incredibly difficult and unworkable standard, but it's really not the case. What we're proposing is that this change is important because it has a very minimal effect on the agency and a very substantial effect potentially on the employee. What we're saying here is that while normally CAR Factor 3 need not necessarily be applied in every situation, where you have a situation where every official involved in the removal is determined to have some motivation to retaliate against the employee, we're not just going to use factor one. There's got to be some affirmative discussion, some affirmative evidence as to factor three, even if that evidence is that there's no evidence.
So, but that's what, I mean, are you then going to basically be requiring the agency to submit some kind of pro forma affidavit that said, we've reviewed the personnel files at this particular, you know, employee's location and we find no other person that has committed similar misconduct?
Yes. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the why. When the administrative judge is making a decision and is saying essentially that everybody has some type of motivation to do the wrong thing with regard to removing the employee, it's really unrealistic to think that those same people don't have a motivation to not give up all the evidence. It's just not reality.
Well, but this is, I mean, it's not full-blown litigation, but you get discovery at the board, you can have hearings, you can cross-examine these people, and the board can assess their credibility about whether they're being truthful or not, can't they?
Of course the ALJ makes a decision, Judge. But it's very different. As this court has recognized, the agency holds most of the cards.
Yes, but you can have discovery. Again, you can have discovery. You can get documents. You can get the administrative record. You can talk to these people. Here's my problem with it. It seems to me that you are elevating the CAR factors into essentially a independent three-part statutory test. When, as I understand CAR, all it is meant to be a non-exclusive list of factors to guide the AJs and the MSPB in making the ultimate statutory determination, which is, would the agency have taken this action but for the protected disclosure? That's the statutory language, or close to it, right?
Understood and agreed, Judge, but...
But that's what the MSPB has to make as a factual determination.
Agreed.
And so when we review these cases, we're reviewing whether there's substantial evidence for that factual determination. And you're asking us now to say, well, they have to have independent factual evidence for each of the three CAR factors. And I get it, you're trying to limit it to a subset of cases.
Very small.
But to me, that doesn't matter whether you're trying to limit it or not. Is what's your authority for elevating the CAR factor into what is essentially going to be a statutory test that is not there, that we have to find evidence to support each thing? That's just not what the statute requires, is it? It requires the agency to show that it would have taken this action even if this person had not made protected disclosures.
Judge, I agree with the idea, but I respectfully disagree with Your Honor's characterization of it. The CAR factors are helping reach that determination. of whether or not that's in fact been the case.
But those factors are not required by the statute, right?
They are not required by
the statute. We could have a completely different test.
Absolutely.
We could have no test at all and just say all that AJ has to do is make this statutory determination that but for the protected disclosures, the same action would take
it. I agree, but if we're going to have a test, shouldn't it matter? I mean, isn't there a difference where every deciding official has a reason to lie?
I think that you're making a presumption. Why would we assume that every deciding official has to lie? I mean, isn't there a canon that government employees are presumed to do their duties in good faith?
Judge, of course they're presumed to do their duties in good faith. But at the same time, that doesn't change the reality of how life is. That's why in this particular case, you know, obviously CAR Factor 1 weighed heavily in the ALJ's decision here to say, hey, this removal was appropriate. But the judge found that both of these individuals had some motivation to retaliate for the wrong reasons. And of course, Your Honor knows there was a lot that went on here with
regard to... Sure. Did either or both these individuals testify in person?
Of course. Weiss testified.
Right. And did the administrative judge have a chance to assess their credibility?
The administrative judge had that opportunity, of course, Judge. But the administrative judge...
And the administrative judge believed the deciding official.
He believes the deciding official in the light of no evidence. The lack of any evidence as to CAR Factor 3 becomes a reason to discard the factor.
Why?
You tell me.
No, I mean, why does that matter? The deciding official got up there and said, I would have done this even with the whistleblowing disclosures. And that's the ultimate statutory question that has to be answered. The administrative judge believed it. Why isn't that substantial evidence for the board's decision here?
Judge, of course that's substantial evidence. What I'm suggesting is that CAR Factor 3 should matter. It should matter, especially in a case where...
Counsel, when someone is arguing for a change in the law, is essentially admitting that the facts in the law are against them.
CAR Factor 1 is not good for us, Judge. I understand.
You want us to overrule our Whitmore case?
No, I think Whitmore supports our position.
Whitmore held there's no obligation to prove each of the CAR factors.
Correct. Whitmore held that there's no obligation to prove each of the CAR factors. But there hasn't been a case that dealt with this specific situation where we're going to have this unanimous circumstance where everybody's got a reason to not completely tell the truth. And, you know, pragmatically, when it comes to these applications of the CAR factors, as your honors know, in the vast majority of cases, all three are being presented anyway. It's not like it's this huge additional burden for somebody to say, hey, look, where there's some motivation to not tell the truth, then there's always a potential motivation to not present the evidence as to any kind of comparators. And we should at least address it. Even if there's no evidence, just tell us that there's no evidence. I mean, make people commit to that position in good faith, not just assume that it doesn't apply. I mean, here, you've got this 27-year...
Can't you
employee.
Ask these people that during the hearing? Can't you ask them and say,
obviously,
are you aware of any
hearing.
Other situations where people have committed this type of misconduct and not been penalized in the same way?
Other situations? I don't understand the question.
CAR Factor 3. I mean, are there other people that committed the same type of misconduct that your client did and were not punished in the same way? Did you ask anybody that?
I didn't do the hearing, obviously. I think
that's not a good answer.
Of course. If Your Honor's question is whether or not I would have maybe done everything the same way, yeah, I probably wouldn't have done everything the same way, Judge.
I just don't understand, because I think you already acknowledged right at the front that all that's going to happen is if we impose this requirement, which frankly I think we have to go en banc to do, so I doubt that that's going to happen. But if we impose this requirement, all the agencies are going to do is set some kind of pro forma declaration that say we're not aware of any other person that's committed this particular type of misconduct and been punished less severely. You can ask that same question and you can get at that same kind of information during discovery, during the hearings, and the like. I see little reason in enforcing what seems to be a bureaucratic, you know, requirement on the agency. Now, let me ask you this. How far do you think the agencies have to search?
That is obviously a very fair question, Judge. You know, they can't be required to search forever, but I do think that when you're dealing with
I don't mean time-wise. I mean how extensively. Is it good enough for this single employing entity So he worked, I don't know if this, if he worked at a specific fire station or not. Is it good enough for one fire station? Is it good enough for all the fire stations in a region? Is it good for all the firefighters that work for the entire agency?
Judge, since we're always talking about the particular deciding official, proposing official, obviously it shouldn't go beyond that.
It should just go to that deciding official, right? So that's
of course.
So ask him that at the hearing, right?
Judge, I understand the argument, but I...
What's different than requiring that deciding official to supply an affidavit under oath and ask him the same question at oath at the hearing?
I think that supplying that information in advance of it or making it part of their requirement necessarily brings more credibility to the process where you have somebody, multiple people, who have a reason to fire somebody for the wrong reason. I'm running out of time, Judge. I got it.
We will save it for you, Mr. Pinode.
Thank you, Judge.
Ms. Vicks.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. This Court should sustain the Board's decision affirming Mr. Rickles' removal for three reasons. First, the Board's treatment of comparator evidence under CAR Factor 3 is in accordance with the case law, and particularly the Board's finding that there was no relevant comparator evidence is supported by substantial evidence.
How do we know that there's no relevant comparator evidence? Did the agency actually supply any affirmative statement that there wasn't?
The agency did not bring forward any evidence that there were, let me correct myself. Captain Weiss testified that he was unaware of any employee who had committed the same type of misconduct as Mr. Rickle, and that's at Appendix 289. And so that is affirmative evidence that there are no similarly situated employees who committed the same misconduct as Mr. Rickle. Captain Weiss also provided some more generalized testimony regarding removals for failure to follow instructions, and he provided that on cross-examination.
Whose burden was it to provide that evidence?
It's the agency's burden, Your Honor.
Sorry?
It's the agency's burden, Your Honor. So the administrative...
And the agency, if it doesn't provide ample evidence on or any evidence on CAR 3, risks being found to be, you know, have insufficiently shown its clear and convincing evidence. I think we've said that, right?
Sure, Your Honor. And the agency...
So it might be, even if we don't impose a requirement, that the agencies get in a better practice of providing exactly the kind of affidavit we were talking about, is that we've looked through our files and have determined that nobody's committed this kind of misconduct and been punished less severely.
And this court has held that the agency is at its peril if it does not produce that type of evidence. And it still has also held that if there is no comparator evidence, there is no comparator evidence, and that factor simply falls out of the equation, as this court recently held in Redmond v. DBA. Now, this court has held that if there is relevant comparator evidence, the agency is at its peril not to produce it, but that's different than if there is no comparator evidence at all.
How would an employee go about getting this evidence if the agency failed to produce it?
The employee has the opportunity during his MSPB appeal proceedings to request discovery, to request documents, to have a hearing if at his request, and to follow up with questions regarding specifics.
So during discovery, an employee can propound interrogatories and document requests to say, are there any other people that have been proposed to be removed or disciplined for similar misconduct?
Yes, the employee can propound document requests and interrogatories regarding whether any employees conducted similar misconduct or were subject to the same discipline.
Do you know if that was done here?
I do not know if the appellant here propounded such discovery requests.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have the full record of all that before us. I didn't see it either.
But as this court has discussed, it is the agency's burden, and when there are no comparators, there are no comparators, and the factor simply falls out of the analysis or becomes at most neutral. In this case, that is what the administrative judge found. He found that the evidence that Mr. Rickle had provided of removal of another whistleblower was not relevant because the relevant inquiry under CAR 3 is the treatment of a whistleblower versus a non-whistleblower. So evidence about removal of a whistleblower wasn't relevant, and he found that Mr. Rickle's list of other employees who had conducted different misconduct was also not relevant because the question under CAR is whether the employee was a non-whistleblower who was treated differently than the whistleblower for similar, not exactly the same, but similar misconduct. And so in this case, the administrative judge correctly found that there was no comparator evidence, and he correctly found then that CAR Factor 3 would not be part of the analysis and that it was neutral for the agency. I can turn now to the argument that this court should not impose a bright line rule. I'll address it briefly. This argument should be rejected. It is contrary to the court's case law and the long line of cases from Carr and Whitmore and congressional intent, and because it misunderstands the Carr factors. The court has never claimed that these are mandatory factors that must be met in order for the agency to meet its statutory burden under 5 U.S.C. 1221E2. Instead, the court has discussed that the CAR factors guide the inquiry and are, quote, appropriate and pertinent considerations for determining whether the agency carries its burden. They are to be balanced against one another. In a recent case, Robinson, CAR factor 1 was found to be strong. CAR factor 2 was found to be mixed, and actually this court found that perhaps the AJ had not, had failed to even adequately account for some evidence of motive, and CAR factor 3 was also mixed, and on the strength of CAR factor 1, the AJ's opinion was upheld on substantial evidence. And in this case also, CAR factor 1, the agency had strong reasons for its decision, as the appellant even concedes. He's not contesting that. And although there was...
it's curious that he's not contesting at least some of this, because I understand that there's pretty good evidence that he couldn't be rehabilitated, but given his background and what he was accused of failing to do, the removal penalties seems a bit disproportionate. It seems like there could have been some intermediate steps, even if he ultimately would have been fired, of trying at least to get his attention with lengthier suspensions and the like. But he didn't challenge any of that, right?
He didn't challenge any of that, and he concedes that the agency proved its removal and that there was a nexus between his removal and the efficiency of the service, and he also explicitly doesn't challenge CAR Factor 1. He also doesn't challenge CAR Factor 2, although he claims that it should be a factor in this court's establishment of a bright line rule for CAR Factor 3. But here, as in Robinson, balancing a strong case for removal against a weak motive to retaliate in general produced sufficient measure of proof in the mind of the trier of fact, the administrative judge, who took credibility determinations, took evidence, and participated in listening to hearing testimony and considered the evidence. He balanced that, and it was sufficient to form a firm belief that the agency had met its burden of proof. It's not this court's role to reweigh evidence, and the administrative judge carefully and thoroughly set out the evidence and his reasoning for his decision. Under this court's standard of review, substantial evidence supports the board's determination that the agency met its burden of proof, and the administrative judge's decision should be sustained. Unless the court has any further questions for me?
As we've said before, no one loses points by not using up all their time. Thank you, Ms. Vicks.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Pinode has some rebuttal time.
Thank you, Judge.
After 27 years of federal service, and every deciding official, every official involved in removal, proposal official, removal official, having a motivation to retaliate against him that was improper. If the court upholds his firing, it does so with absolutely no knowledge of whether or not there is any comparator evidence whatsoever as to Carl Factor 3. There's none. The judge says, I don't have any. And of course, Your Honor fairly asked questions about what discovery could have been done. Maybe discovery could have been done. Should that really honestly be the employee's burden to get that answer on that comparative information by discovery when there's a clear and convincing standard on the agency to prove their case? So the appellant has to conduct discovery to find out if there's comparator employees, any comparator evidence, make sure it's not there, rather than the agency just say, this is it
exactly,
or it's not.
That's exactly the type of evidence you're going to want for all other parts of the case, too. If you wanted to argue that this penalty was disproportionate to his misconduct, you would have said, have other employees committed similar types of misconduct, and how were they penalized? So it's not just on Carl Factor. If you're affirmatively defending an employee that's been disciplined by the agency, you're going to want evidence of comparator employees for a whole host of defenses, most of which are your burden. In this particular instance, because of the way the Whistleblower Protection Act was written, it's the agency's burden. But in other instances where you're going to the Douglas factors, I think, you know, if you're going to show that something was disproportionate or that, you know, they were treated differently than other employees outside the whistleblower context, it's your burden, isn't it?
Judge, I agree, but to be completely frank, I think this happens in Orange's standard. Yes, the burden falls on us sometimes.
But it's the same type of discovery.
It's the same type of discovery.
And a lot of times these whistleblower cases are mixed case, I'm not using the mixed case term of art, but they are not just whistleblower actions. They are challenges to the removal with a whistleblower defense. So you're going to be getting that same type of information anyway.
Judge,
I just don't understand why you think what you're asking for is going to do anything, because the agency is going to come forth with a pro forma declaration in every single one of these. And then if you just don't do any discovery, then you're stuck with that. If you do discovery, you may find out additional information which can further go to credibility, which you want to do anyway.
Judge, perhaps you're right. And again, as the court knows, I didn't handle the case below. So perhaps I would have done things differently. But putting that aside, that doesn't change where the burdens here fall. I understand that if this was a typical McDonnell Douglas kind
of situation,
no the burdens
burden.
Are different.
I mean, you're talking about burdens, but we've never held that there's an independent burden to show each independent Carl Factor.
Correct.
And that the agency fails if it doesn't meet them separately. The burden is to show the ultimate factual question, which is they would have taken this action anyway, right?
Judge, I agree, but I respectfully think that there's a difference where it's not a typical situation where everybody involved in the removal has a reason to retaliate. I do think that makes a difference. I'm not suggesting a change in the rule for every single situation, but this specific situation, because I think it's important.
Doesn't it make a factual difference that the agency, that AJ should be a little bit more suspicious of the testimony of these officials because they had a motive to retaliate? That's clearly covered by Carl Factor 2, but they still get to look at these people and say, I heard them, I believe them.
Yes, but again, then you might as well just get rid of Carl Factor 3. Why have it? If we're just going to agree that, you know, Carl Factor 1 is good enough, then Your Honors can make cases much cleaner. Just get rid of Carl Factor.
Well, I think it's out there for the instances where somebody has been punished differently.
And when it's out there, as the court knows, most times, most cases that come before this court, all three factors have been considered. This is an aberration in the way things typically go. It's an aberration that really has a lot of very different facts. Counsel points to the fact
Do you have any suspicion or belief that people are out there in this case that did similar things?
Yes.
Well, then why didn't – I mean, I know you didn't
I did.
Go after this person, but you're stuck with the facts of your case.
I understand that, Judge. But, you know, again, this is a single
act. You had a suspicion
this
going
is,
in.
This is a single act.
It seems to me you're trying to save this case based upon some bad lawyering at the board. If there were suspicions at the board that this guy was being singled out
– I'm trying to hold the agency to its burden in reality,
the board found the agency met its burden of the ultimate factual question.
I understand, Judge. There's a whole lot missing here, and I think it matters under these circumstances. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.